I want the life of God living in me, manifesting through me. I want to be in contact with God. Amen? Come on. I want to be in contact with God. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus said, I'm going to give you another helper, another paracletes, another one who's going to stand by your side, who's going to be your help and do what you can do. He's going to be right with you at all times, helping you in everything. And he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. Jesus said, I'm going to come to you. Jesus is with you. Are you living like Jesus is with you? Am I living like Jesus is with me? Am I living with that expectation? Huh? Genesis 1:1. We're going to start at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void. How was the earth? Without form means it had no order. The Hebrew, anybody remember? Tohu, bohu, I believe it's pronounced. Tohu, without order. And void means it was without life. The earth was without order and without life. And that is a picture of somebody without Jesus. It is also, at least to an extent, it is a picture of somebody who is saved, but is living their life apart from Jesus. Just because we came to him and confessed our sins and put our faith in him and the cross for righteousness, we can then go step into life and still live out of order with him and still live out of contact with him. Right? It's up to us by faith to make that connection. It's up to us to talk to the Holy Spirit. It's up to us to draw on him. It's up to us to read the scripture and take it for what it is and say that's mine and live by it. Amen? It's up for us to see what Jesus is doing and saying, if that's you, Jesus, then you call me out there to walk with you. I'm preaching better than you. Amen. It's up to us. What's up to us? Just to respond, because he gives us everything. It isn't up to us to do it. Yeah. It wasn't up to Peter to make himself float on the water. It was just up to him to have enough chutzpah to say, if that's you, tell me to come out there and then to climb over the edge of the boat and say, I'm going to do this by the strength of God, by the power of God. I'm going to do what Jesus is doing. It doesn't matter how tohu bohu your life is. It doesn't matter how without form and void your life is. I heard one preacher say he saw somebody with complete Down syndrome come to the altar to get born again. And after that day, they had no more Down syndrome. That's the power of God. Just responding in simple faith to the word of God. Yeah. Tohu, bohu, without form, without void, or without form, without order, in void, without life. But what's the next line that it says there in Genesis 1, verse 2? And, thank God for and there. What does it say? And? Say it louder. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This is not a real hard question, but when was the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the waters? What was the condition? There was nothing, but it was out form and void, which means there was no order and it was lifeless. But the Spirit of God was there to do something. Just because there was no order yet, just because there was no life, didn't mean the Holy Spirit wasn't there. The Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit's with you, and He's ready to do something in your life. Joe, the Holy Spirit's with you, ready to do something new in your life. Yeah. Amen? He's ready to do something new, and He's just waiting for us to reach out and say, yes, I take your word at face value. Right? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3 says what? Say it, somebody.
Then God said,
let there be light. And there was light. What happened? The Word of God came. And God spoke the Word. And God believed the Word He spoke. Of course, by default, huh? So what do we see here? There was no order, no life, but the Spirit of God was there ready to do something. But when the Word came and it was spoken and believed, change began to happen.
Yeah.
Light came. Where did the light come from? I guess in one way, Jesus, but we could say because He was the one there doing it all. But the Holy Spirit was the one who manifested it, right? What was that? Oh, whatever. I've had lights fall down while I was preaching too. Not in here. They're like, oh. God wants to do something new in our life. I mean, can we honestly look at a life and say, yeah, I think this is about what God wants to do. Please. Please, we serve an omnipotent, all-powerful God who wants to display Himself through us, right?
Amen.
Who's made us the salt of the world, the light of the earth. The light of, to shine the light on who He is.
Yeah.
It's got to be Him coming through our lives if we're going to shine the light on who He is, right?
Amen.
Everywhere I look through Scripture, I never, ever, ever see God saying, hold on now. That's going to be a little too tough, or that's a little much, don't you think? I don't ever hear anything like that. He's always calling His people forward to believe Him for more, right? Did we ever see Jesus look at His apostles and say, come on, guys, now that was just over the top, what you're saying now? No, not even close. He was constantly on them about, where is your faith? Believe me. Do the works. Don't doubt. Right? Because the Spirit of God is over our tohu bohu. He's over the world's tohu bohu. He's over the world's formlessness and voidness. He's over the world's chaotic mess that doesn't have life. And He's there to do something through the Word. As we step out on the Word and speak the Word and believe the Word. Amen? Yes!
Yeah.
Change is happening.
Word. Yeah. Word.
Grace is enough. Grace is enough. I don't need grace and something else. I mean, just what a beautiful statement. His grace is sufficient. What does sufficient mean?
Enough.
I mean, you ever, like, had a group and you're paying a bill together and somebody pays some and then you get up and you say, well, what's left? And then you find out what's left and you pay that. But sometimes maybe they paid the whole thing and they said, well, what they gave was sufficient. Well, I got news for you. Every time you get to the register, every time, the person's going to say, that guy Jesus over there, he paid it all. It was sufficient what He gave me. You can't pay it. You just got to take it.
Amen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Amen. Go to John chapter 14. Let's start at verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And what did he do when he went to his Father? He made a place for us within himself, right? Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He seems pretty eager to do something, doesn't he? Jesus looks pretty eager to do something through us. Okay, yep. Now that can be different things. We know God wants to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast our demons. Freely we receive, freely give. Right? 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 But there's more things that he wants to do. He wants to do things through business people in the business world. He wants to do things through you with your family. He wants to do wherever you're at in life. I mean, one thing I've found out with God is he is a creator, which makes him pretty creative. I mean, so he's always into healing the sick. He's always into casting out demons, raising the dead. He's always into that. And so we should be into that too. But he's creative, and he wants to do some unique things in unique situations. So, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He is not talking about the second coming here when he comes with the angels and the mass of saints in the trumpet blast. He's saying, I'm going to come to you in the Holy Spirit. Everything that I am, I'm going to be again through the Holy Spirit who will live in you. That's an amazing statement. I think Jesus is saying in some people, let me out. Let me out. I want to do some things. I want to move through you. I don't care how tohu bohu, how formless, how meaningless you think your life is, how worthless, how there is no seeming life in my life. The Spirit of God is still there. He is there, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like. The Spirit of God is here. He is with you as you leave this place and you go to your home and it doesn't seem like much is going on. He's there just as much when you go to your workplace. He's there when you go to whatever event you go to. He is there. He is there. He is there.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. You don't need to go there. Matthew 28, he said, lo, I will be with you always, even till the end of the age. I think it's the very last verse. Jesus is with me. Jesus is with you.
Yeah.
Feel like it, don't feel like it, doesn't matter. Take him on his word.
Yeah.
Let's take him at his word. Jesus is with me. Whatever needs to happen for New Wine Ministries and for what's ahead, Jesus is with me. He's with you. Whatever Jesus has for you to step into and go to in life and do, Jesus is with you. He is with you. He's there to be Jesus through you, in you. I'll send you another Paracletos, another helper. And he will be with you forever. The Spirit of truth in the world doesn't know or doesn't see him or know him. But you know him, he said, for he's with you through Jesus, and he's going to be in you. The Spirit that was manifesting through Jesus now is in us. I'll not leave you orphans. What a beautiful statement from Jesus. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving in flesh, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm coming to you. Acts 1:8, when the Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, right? You shall testify. I mean, testify. You're going to tell what you know. They knew he was alive, right? They were witnesses. But he said, I want you to do it in power. Anybody could go and tell. But when they told it, when we look at Acts chapter 2, the first time they begin to proclaim it, they didn't just proclaim it out of themselves. They did it with power. Right? They did it with power. Now, it came with a spectacular demonstration. Peter said, what you see and you hear, this is the Holy Spirit. This is what Joel said was coming. Not everything looks spectacular, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be supernatural. Are we depending on God every day? Have you ever, you lose something and you just start looking for it, and you start looking for it, and then you didn't even stop to pray? You ever done that? Ever just doing your job and you're just doing it and it's no fun or whatever, and you're just doing it, you don't even start talking to the Holy Spirit? What's a better way to do this? Help me to have a good attitude. Trying to keep in communion with God as you talk to him. What are you doing? You're putting your faith in, he is here for me to help me. And just because you don't see a 180 change right then and there, keep talking to the Holy Spirit. Keep praying. Keep saying, help me with my attitude. Help me with this. Give me wisdom here. You know, sometimes I'll make that prayer about God, how do I do this or what's this? And sometimes I'll get an answer. Bam, he just speaks to me right then and there. But a lot of times it doesn't happen that way. But you know what? I've asked. I believe he's going to answer. If it's not him speaking directly right then and there, or doing something spectacular right then and there, I'm still going to believe that he's doing something. Like, if I have a question about something, I just ask. And he might just answer right then and there. Or he might choose to show me in the days ahead through somebody else or through another avenue. But I've asked. We've got to try and keep in communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen? As we talk to him, we are acting in faith that he is with us. As we talk to him and ask him, we are acting in faith that he is here to help us. Amen? As we don't do that, we are acting in faith that he's not. Right? Don't give up asking. Keep asking. You'll receive. Keep seeking. You're going to find. Keep knocking. The door will be open to you. He said, if an earthly father be evil, he still knows how to, even an evil earthly father knows how to give good gifts. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more is God going to give you the Holy Spirit? Oh, no, well, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit a while back. No. We need the Holy Spirit every day for everything moving through our lives. This isn't just, I got the Holy Ghost 10 years. No. Yeah, great. But he wants to manifest himself through our lives on a daily basis, giving us wisdom, giving us strength, giving us his ability in things. Amen? So we can take his yoke upon us, learning from him, moving with him, flowing with him. This is a supernatural life. This is a Holy Spirit life. We are to be united as, in one sense, natural, but spiritual, connected with Him. Amen? Oh. You know, I'm going to use this as just as a, I'm preaching this. I had thought of a few of these things, but I didn't write down what I was going to preach or how I was going to preach it. I just get up here and I pray and say, Lord, speak. And we get up here and then we just lean on Him. And He does it. But the Holy Ghost doesn't want to just move because I was preaching by the Holy Ghost. Yes, but the Holy Ghost doesn't want to stop moving through my life because I stopped preaching. He doesn't just move through somebody who's preaching or teaching or doing a miracle. He wants to move through your life when you're doing, I don't know, writing a letter to somebody. When you're talking to somebody. When you're going through your day. When you're confused about something. He wants to come and give you wisdom. Come and give you ability. To come and give you encouragement. Come and give you strength when you're failing in yourself. He wants to come. Amen? Woo! Yes! The Holy Ghost is here! And I don't mean here. He is here, but He's here because I'm here. He's here because you're here. And when we leave, He's still, wherever I'm at, I can say the Holy Ghost is here. Whether I feel Him in a very supernatural way or not, He is here. Wherever I'm at, He's here. Where's the Holy Ghost at? Wherever I'm at. Where's the Holy Ghost at? Wherever you're at. Where can I find the Holy Ghost? I don't know. Wherever you go, there He is. Now, I understand there's another way of looking at it where we seek Him, where we seek to have Him more manifest. We seek to know Him more. And we seek to see Him more, to understand Him more, of course. But He's always with us. Right? As heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, He is with us. I mean, how can I be an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ and then not have Him with me? Did the Holy Spirit leave Jesus? The Holy Spirit leave? No, He's if I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, He has to be with me then. He has to be with you. Wherever you're at the darkest tohu bohu moment, He's there. At the most formless void, how's your life? Well, my life seems a little tohu bohu. It seems a little formless and void right now. Oh, Holy Ghost is there. Yeah. He's there, ready to do something, ready to bring manifestation, ready to bring light, ready to bring the manifestation of His Spirit into that situation, to bring order, to bring life. Amen. God continued to speak, and God continued to bring order, and God continued to bring life. And as we continue in the Word, to believe it, step out on it, speak it, it will bring life into our life. It will bring order into our life. But it doesn't mean that He's not with us now, right? It just means we need to learn His Word and how to live in it more. To continue in His Word, and you'll be my disciples indeed, right? Isn't that what He said? Continue in my Word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't that interesting? That the truth is already built into the Word. He's already given it all. He's already paid it all. It's up to us then to just take that truth and step out in it, and live it, and speak it, right? Creation was a done work, and God, He had a plan within Himself. It was already established within Him. So He began to speak that Word. What does He expect for us to do? Take the Word. Live that Word. Speak that Word. And as we do it, the same thing will happen in our life. Complete tohu bohu, complete formless and void. It doesn't matter how screwed up someone's life is. You continue in His Word, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth will bring freedom. He's already built in that freedom into His Word. Weeping may last for a night, but joy has got to come in the morning. He brought him quite a morning there in Genesis chapter 1. All right. Psalm 114. Go to Psalm 114. Have you ever had an experience where the Holy Spirit, this is a rhetorical question, if you ever had an experience where the Holy Spirit was so tangible that it felt like really powerful, or maybe felt like your head was going to blow up, or something like that. Did you know the Holy Spirit is manifesting in that, in doing something, but in your darkest, deepest, darkest place, most alone place, He is just as much with you. He's just as much with you. Or else he would have to be a liar. Hear me. He'd have to be a liar to say, I'll be with you till the end of the age. And then not be. He would be a liar then. He's not a liar. He is with us. Watch this. Are you there? You got your Bibles? Psalm 114 says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. What is a sanctuary? It's a holy place or a sanctified place, right? Who became God's sanctuary? Israel. Is that what it says? Judah. Let me look at it. Both are true here. But Judah became his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. So God's sanctuary, or the place where He ruled, was where? It wasn't a physical location so much. It was His people. So He may have been in a physical location manifested, but only because His people were in that place. Right? Now look, the sea saw it and fled. I like suspense. I like drama. It saw, what did it see? Jordan turned back. Are we all tracking here? What sea? What sea saw it and fled? Does anybody know? The Red Sea. When did Jordan turn back? Not a person named, not Michael. They crossed over into the promised land. Jordan, not Michael. Never mind. I know, it was bad, but I was just trying to see if you're listening. So Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. When did mountains move? Or a mountain move? Yeah. when did it physically move? When did the mountain physically move? When he came down on Mount Sinai. It shook. So here we got a sea, a physical sea is physically moving. A physical river is physically being held back. A physical mountain is physically shaking. And he's asking the questions. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The little hills like rams. What ails you, O sea? Verse 5. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O little hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Let me ask you a question. Not a hard question. What moved the sea back? The presence of the Lord. Or we could say the power of God, the Holy Spirit. What moved Jordan, or held Jordan back? Huh? Say it again. The presence of the Lord. What made the mountain shake? Let me ask you this question. Before the Red Sea was moved, were all the people saying, "Wow, the presence of God is so strong here. He's about to do something." Were they doing that? What were they doing? They were fearful. And what did they say? "Moses, did you bring us out here to die because there was not enough graves in Egypt?" So let me ask you the question. Did they feel the Holy Spirit? They didn't feel anything. Moses said, "Don't be afraid. Only God is going to save you." And what did God say to Moses? After Moses tells people, "Don't whine," God says to Moses, "Don't cry to me. You got the rod. Hold it up." But we know it was the presence of God that moved back the sea. But God said to Moses, "I gave you the rod. That authority, stretch it out. It is your authority to be a shepherd to those people, to bring them to where I've called them. Stretch it out." He stretches it out. And when he stretches it out, what happens? The presence of God moves the ocean. The Holy Ghost, he is ready to move some things. We just got to stretch out that rod. We just got to take the word and step out in it and live it and believe it and speak it, right?
Yes. Come on.
We may not do it perfect. Yeah. Let's learn. Peter sunk after he was on the water. But you know what? After he did it, I'm sure he was more apt not to sink the second time. Peter, Jesus said, "Why did you doubt, you of little faith?" Not no faith, not great faith, little faith. You walked on the water for a minute. You had a little bit of faith. And you got your eyes back on the circumstance. But go back to the supernatural. When the priests stepped their feet into the Jordan, did they block the Jordan with their feet? Keep the water back. No, it was overflowing the banks. It would have swept them away. As soon as they put their feet in, the Holy Spirit held back the Jordan all the way to the city called Adam. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes the Holy Ghost is just waiting for us to get 1 foot into the situation. "Well, I'm going to step forward when I see it's all beautiful." And he said, "I'm not going to move until you get 1 step in." Get 1 step in because I've told you to go. "Well, when it's good, everything's, then I'm going to go." "No, start going." "No, when it's beautiful." "No." You got the ark on your shoulders. The priest had the ark. The covenant, the kingdom on their shoulders. They had to go forward. And as they got their foot into the river, that's when the Holy Ghost held back the river. Are you getting this? What Jordan is before you? Yeah, there's timing in for things. But what is God telling you to step forward into now? Where can we aggressively not do our own thing, but aggressively, kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Taking what God has given us. Right? Because the Holy Spirit is there. He is with you. And that's his message tonight. No matter where you go, no matter what he calls, no matter what it seems like, he is there. He is with you. No matter how you feel, he's with you. The Holy Spirit is with you, wanting to do something. He will not leave us orphans. He has come to us. Father, whatever you say, that's what we want to do. Yeah. We want to live with your mindset, Lord, and with your wisdom. You said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it to him without reproach. Father, we ask for wisdom tonight. We ask, God, that you would speak to us. We ask, God, that you would bring a greater revelation of who you are and what you want to do in our life. Hallelujah.